This is A Coastal Story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. It was the unseasonable warmth of the afternoon that day at the end of September 1833 that convinced four young men to set out from the harbour at Saltcoats on the Ayrshire coast in a small, open sailing boat. They knew the waters well, and it was a short voyage they'd done many times to Horse Isle off Ardrossan, and after a walk around the small island, they set sail for home. On the return journey, the wind suddenly blew up, the rough sea preventing their safe entry into the harbour. They were seen turning north, presumably to make for the safety of Millport on the Isle of Great Cumbrae, just as the heavens opened and curtains of rain closed around them. For 24 hours, Saltcoats waited for news. And then word came from Millport. The boat had washed up on the shore. There was no trace of the four men. One of those lost in the tragedy was John Miller, 29 years old, the son of William Miller, a timber dealer at Saltcoats and owner of the brig Clytus, of which John was master. John's death meant that all three of William's sons had been lost to the sea. Perhaps because of the grief, William became absent-minded, frail, and eventually bedridden. The once prosperous business faltered, and by the time of his death, around 1836, William Miller and Company faced debts of more than £700. That's nearly £50,000 today. Its only remaining asset was the ancient, creaking Clytus. Betsy Miller was William's eldest child. Now in her mid-40s, she'd worked for the family firm since leaving school, dealing with the paperwork and keeping things running, even as her brothers died and her father declined along with the business. Now she found herself in charge of the ailing company, with two younger sisters as well as herself to support. The whispers in the town had it that the Miller women were destined for the workhouse. None of them were married, and none of them had any prospects of marriage either. Opportunities for single women like the Miller sisters to make their own way in life were scarce in the 1830s, especially in the dangerous business of maritime trade. Their future looked bleak. But Betsy thought otherwise. She knew how the business ran. She had ideas about how it should be run. Not only that, as a girl and a young woman, she had often accompanied her father on voyages when William skippered the two-masted sailing ship on its regular runs to Ireland. She'd looked after the provisions and overseen repairs. William had taught her about navigation, and she knew the Clytus, its moods and its rhythms, better than any of its 14-man crew. Why employ a master when she could do the job herself and save the company a master's wage? Betsy Miller became the first woman in Britain ever to register as a ship's captain, and set about reviving the fortunes of William Miller and Company. For the best part of the next three decades, she sailed the east coast of Ireland, taking cargoes of coal, timber and limestone to ports from Belfast to Cork. Her seamanship was second to none, and she became one of the most respected skippers on the Irish Sea. Miss Miller has weathered the storms of the deep when many commanders of the other sex have been driven to pieces on the rocks, read a newspaper profile during the 1850s. Her position and attitudes on the quarterdeck in a gale of wind are often spoken of, and would do credit to an admiral. Before long, Betsy had not only paid off her father's debts, she was making healthy profits and was able to live in some comfort with her sisters, Hannah and Mary, in a house overlooking Saltcoats Harbour. And Betsy loved the Clytus. She could have invested in a larger, newer vessel, but the old brig was the closest thing she had to family outside her sisters. She had her own cabin built on the poop deck, where her sister Hannah would often join her on board, watching and learning, growing as familiar with every creak of timber and flap of sail as her older sister. So by the time Betsy died in 1864 at the age of 71, after nearly 30 years at sea, Hannah had already taken over the Clytus and would stay in command until 1876, when the old vessel was condemned by Samuel Plimsoll's unseaworthy ship's bill that gave us the Plimsoll line. A public subscription afterwards raised £200, more than enough to give Hannah and Mary a comfortable retirement. A letter survives that Hannah wrote to Mary on board the Clytus while battened down against bad weather at Carlingford Lock during a difficult voyage in 1871, meaning we come as close as we possibly can to hearing the voice of one of maritime history's most remarkable women, 150 years on. "My dear Mary," she writes, "I wrote to you last Monday as the boat was going for potatoes, which we hope you received. Well, as the wind came round that evening, we got under way on Tuesday morning about 2 o'clock and had got as far as Porter Ferry when the wind came right ahead. Still, we hung at sea, thinking to make a passage. But today the glass began to fall and the sun looked so bad we were obliged to run for this place, and with much anxiety of mind got in about an hour ago. I write this in case the harbour boat that comes in the morning should be here before I am out of bed, for I have to give 7 and 6 pence for anchorage, and it is the last penny I have, and I am here a perfect stranger with no money, nor a bit of beef in the barrel, for the last was put in soak today. I am indeed thankful that I am again in a place of safety, for no one but God knows what I suffer from anxiety at sea in a long stormy night. And this night I am afraid of taking on that pain that comes so severe on me. However, I hope I may be disappointed. I can give you no news of the rest of the vessels that left with us, as it is dark, and a severe night it is. I trust if it is God's will, we may soon get to Dublin, for we have been much put about since we left. Trusting this will find you in your usual, your poor, tossed sister, Hannah Miller." That was A Coastal Story. I'm Charlie Connolly. Now, I'm sorry there was no podcast last week. I was away in Scotland, and when you're freelance, having a week off means you have to fit 2 weeks' work into the previous 1 week, and I just ran out of time. Sorry about that. Thanks to everyone who's bought me a pint via the donations page. I'm honestly overwhelmed by the generosity you've all shown. If you'd like to chip in and help keep the podcast going, you can do so at ko-fi.com or coffee.com. That's ko-fi.com/coastalstories. I'll stick a link in the show notes as well. This episode of Coastal Stories will be the first to feature on the new Amazon Music service. It's not often real on something at the start. Right on the tip of the zeitgeist, baby. You can find us on Facebook at Coastal Stories Podcast, and I'm on Twitter at Charlie Connolly. These waves were recorded at high tide, just after a massive downpour at Deal, on the 24th of September, 2020.